This is My Africa Podcast. My name is Andre Blaise Henshaw. In 2008, in what was then called one of the early boom years for Nigerian entertainment, there was absolutely nothing like Yoruba rap. What did exist was in a tiny corner. People like the Lord of Ajasa and a handful of other people were actively pushing it, but they were regarded as the misbegotten spawn of hip-hop. It's 2015 and the times have changed significantly. It's not just Yoruba rap, it's indigenous rap music, whether it's in Yoruba or Igbo or any one of Nigeria's many languages. It's all widely appreciated, both within the shores of Nigeria and outside of it. One of the key proponents of that culture is seated across from me on the couch today. He's an incredibly elusive person. He's impossible to tie down to an interview. So this, I'm going to squeeze this for all that it's worth. Olamide Adeniji.
Yeah,
AKA Olamide, AKA Badu. Badu. AKA Daddy Miliano.
Yeah.
How's it going, man?
Yeah, fine, boss. It feels great to be with you yet again. Like, it's been a long while since the last time we spoke and all
it's
that.
It's been a minute, man. Yeah. It has. Tell me what's new with you. What's going on with you? What's exciting with your life today?
Right about now, I'm very happy with the fact that I have a kid right now, and I just can't live that young and reckless Mr. Man kind of life anymore. You know, and and way back before the baby came through, I had my guys around, the new signees, artists and all that. So responsibilities has been there, you know. So I've been more responsible and catering for loads of people and you know.
And that's
you know, when you cater to like loads of people, you have loads of people you cater to, man, like you don't even want to joke with them. Like you don't want to joke with their emotions, you don't want to joke with their feelings and all that. So that in a way has helped me, you know, focus and keep my head straight and all that. So
would you say that you're happy right now with where your life is as a person?
Of course I am. I'm happy. Like, honestly speaking, man, because over time I've met with some of my guys that we all grew up in the ghetto together. Like, nobody thought it's gonna be like this big for me or for someone coming from Bariga, and you're not even doing like pop R&B or something.
Yeah,
you're rapping you're rapping like rap doesn't even like really sell like that in Nigeria, and now you're coming from the ghetto and you're not doing English rap, my guy. You are going to see fire, you know. Like, no, that has been the whole ish. But glory be to God, I did a lot of smart work and less unnecessary hard work, and it has paved the way for me. And the grace of God has really helped me as well. Yeah.
Tell me about the early years. I caught up with your career when you were with Coda Tunes.
Yeah, Coda Tunes, Tony Payne and all that.
And Tony Payne, yeah. And I mean, you were at the point where I stumbled on you, Nice's first album was still the biggest thing in Nigerian music.
Yeah, it
was
Congrasso.
Yeah, Congrasso was... It was, the single was as big as a whole album.
Like,
you know, so it was difficult to see how a rapper who emerged from those pretty thick shadows was going to actually shine. But you've successfully done just that. So tell me about the early years. What was life like even before Coda Tunes and Idi Kabasa?
Before Coda Tunes and Idi Kabasa, I'm from this kind of background whereby, my pops is a big time hustler, yeah. And at the same time very social person. So I've seen my pops at times when he would have like a meal at home when I was that young, you know. A meal at home, he's gonna count it in our presence and all that. And he's gonna count it in our presence and all that. We're gonna be there. He's gonna give us whatever we want, anything we want. But because he's a very social person, like in another 2 months, my pops can come back home and tell you guys, "Yo, I'm broke, and we're gonna drink Gary for like another 2 months." You know what I'm saying? Like,
what did he do for a living?
He actually used to be a driver for Mobile.
Okay.
Yeah, Mobile and the headquarters, and he used to drive one of the, I think the MD or something.
Okay.
So I think for you to be driving the MD, your salary is not the same thing with everybody living in the ghetto.
Absolutely not.
You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely not.
Like, you know, I grew up knowing the ups and downs, actually. So for me, I just thought my popsy didn't really pay attention to some things that he should have paid attention to. And that's why he had so many ups and downs back then. And because he was too bothered about so many people and satisfying outsiders more than family sometimes, you know. It's just like, I know back then at the back of his mind, it would just be like, oh, don't worry, my kids are going to be fine. As long as I'm alive, you know, they're going to be fine. So my pops used to spend for outsiders more than us back then.
Yeah.
You understand? So I think that really affected us in a way, like big time. Like when we were supposed to move out of the ghetto and all that, my pops wasn't ready. Even till now, my pops, he built his house in the ghetto. I've been begging him to, like, yo, pops, let's move out of Bahia. He doesn't, like, he just wants his people around. Like, it's like a leader that's got loads of followers in the ghetto as well. Like, you know, loads of area boys come around him. He settles them, he takes care of them, and, like, stuff like, so he's not even ready to leave that ghetto. Like, you know, so I went through all that, like, seeing my popsy being rich today, being broke tomorrow and all that. And that's actually a typical example of what Nigeria is. Yeah.
How, I mean, okay, so you went through all of this process with your parents, with your father. Where was your mother in all of this? Was she, I mean, was this the typical perfect single parent, single mother, single father household, or was this polygamous?
And then, yeah, polygamous actually though, but
welcome to
the all through my years, my mom has been with my dad, like, yeah, she was with my dad all through. Till now, they're still together. They live together and everything.
Where did your love for music come from?
My love for music came from influences from my neighbors.
Neighbors?
Yeah, my neighbors. And
that's not something you hear very often.
My neighbors and my parents listen to music a lot, like, you know. And you know, all these Yoruba people now, jai people, they like Faji, you know, so they play music a lot, like Wasiya Ade back to back, Sunny Ade and all that.
Yeah.
The only thing my parents never allowed me to listen to, I think, Fela's music. You know, it's crazy, they said Fela is too crazy and this, that, blah, blah, blah. But they do listen to Fela's music, but when we are around, because they think Fela smokes this and all that, so they don't want us to get influenced. Like, so, I think majority of my neighbors, back then, they used to attend Catholic church, and they used to be in the choir and all that. So sometimes, their choir members come to their place for rehearsals and all that. So while they're doing all that, I'll just be somewhere in the corner watching them doing the Remy Vassalas, you know. I'm like, okay. You know, so I actually fell in love doing all that process and all that. Like,
so that was your early musical education, really?
Yeah.
Just watching
other
people.
I had to, like, walk up to one of my neighbors that's actually the choir master among them, and I had to walk up to him and tell him, bros, please teach me music. I want to learn. Like, but I had loads of challenges because my pops is a Muslim, and
you were raised Muslim.
And the guy wanted me to, like, you know, come around, like, go to church with them and all that, but it wasn't possible.
Oh,
so, like, once in a blue moon when he's free, he's gonna, like, chill with me, then teach me one or two things and all that. Like, it was pretty tough though, because the guy's always busy and all that, even till now. Like, because we still,
you still interact with him?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because, he actually helped me with what's it called? Stage management. Is this stage management? The band, this thing.
Last
December for Olik. He came around. I had to invite him over, like, bros, we finally made it. Come and help me. You know?
Olik, which Olik, by the way, for those of you who are listening to this from other countries, is the acronym for
Olamide
Live in Concert. It was rated one of the best live performance concerts wow. of its time.
For real?
Like, yeah, well, you know Nigerians. We buy a bad product. We know it's a bad product when we buy it. Mm. But when we go to social media, that's where we let it out. Oh, my God, this product is horrible.
Mm.
Nobody said that about Olic. Mm. So that, I feel like that sheds a lot of very important light on how much you've done to transit from being the new kid who's just studying music to being the person who performs it.
Mm-hmm.
But a great deal of your career seems to be hinged on experiences you've had in your life mm-hmm. leading up.
Yeah.
Was it really, and this is no discredit to you, but was it really as tough as you make it sound in the rap songs?
In the rap songs, it was tougher than, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because of course sometimes I don't want to sound too... and all that. Mm-hmm. So I just have to, like, you know, go back to the studio and take out some one
give
or two
me,
lines
give
just
an
to
idea
make it
of something you have said that you've taken out after you've said it. And of course, you know you're going to have to tell me what song, because come on, man.
It's crazy. Like, I actually don't want to let it out, because these are stuffs that are going to pay off for me later on.
Mm.
They're gonna be in my movies, so
oh, you have to look out. You're planning a movie.
Like, I'm actually thinking of one or two, but for now, I'm planning one. Like, majorly, like right now, you know, like there are loads of things that people don't really know about Olamide and the way Olamide reasons, the way he thinks, the way he lives his life, and all that. And you just think this guy is just one rude boy from the ghetto, and you just feel like he's on top of the world. No, I'm not feeling like I'm on top of the world. I'm just a young boy from the ghetto where nobody believed in, somebody no one believed in, and all that. Like, and I went through a lot. Begging for shows, begging for record labels, mm. going for competitions, and I'll see a lot. Like,
what competitions did you go for?
I can't count, but you can name them back then. Just name any competition. Like, back then, I went to a lot with my group. Like, so it's crazy, man. And I even went for Channel O Rap Battle 2008 or 2009. I can't remember. Mode 9 was one of the judges. Mode 9, Ikechukwu, and all that. Like, a lot. A lot.
There's a story there.
No, I'm just saying. There's a story that, there. I'm just saying, like.
Given the fact that you didn't win that Channel O.
And
no,
I didn't.
So, there's a story there. I feel as though there's a story hanging around.
No, like, really, I'm just saying, like, I've been through a lot. Like, I've done all these things, and, you know, doing Yoruba rap back then,
it was
more
impossible.
Like a taboo. Like,
yeah, it was
like,
impossible.
Guy, why are you even here? So, yeah. Soon as they hear 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines, they just tell me, move.
How did
man.
You break even? And this is not just a question for you as a craftsman.
Yeah.
It's a question for a whole industry, because there's Olamide.
Yeah.
And then there's all the stuff that you have to teach a new generation. So you sign who? Lil Kesh.
And Adekunle Gold.
You sign Adekunle Gold?
Yeah.
Well, good for you. I like that already. Anyway, so...
The video just dropped today, though.
No kidding.
Check online.
I looked that up on YouTube. So you have all of these people looking up to you, yeah? But the truth is, very few people around you actually know how you broke even. So how did that happen? Because one second, in 08 and 09, it was impossible to find anyone who rapped in Yoruba outside of the Lord of Ajasa and maybe occasionally...
That Green later on.
What?
That Green later on.
But... That was it. It was the Lord of Ajasa on one end, that Green on the new end. The Green was our alternative to a 50 Cent.
Yeah, 50 Cent.
And
yeah.
The Lord of Ajasa was more guru, more refined,
cooler.
So how does an Olamide who didn't exist in this graph come in? How did that happen?
Way back before my first single came out, because if you check it very well, my first single, the very first single I dropped was Eniduro,
yeah.
And as soon as I dropped it, it picked up.
You must be embarrassed at that video.
Yeah, of course. way back before I recorded that song, I've been in the studio for over 6 years, recording nothing.
My memory could be faulty, but Eniduro was It was released in 2010. You were in the studio since, let's see if I get this right, 2004?
2004. I met Lord of Ajasa in 2003 when I did my very first demo with my group back then. Mm-hmm. Then when we wanted to master the demo, then Kabasa was Ajasa was too busy doing doing shows and all that, so he now referred us to Idi Kabasa. So we went to Idi Kabasa's place and it was like, okay, this song is nice though, but I think you guys should do something new. So my guys actually got tired of going
back and forth
and all that, because Kabasa's place is always filled up, loads of people coming around to work and all that, and there's no room for us to like even record anything yet. So I didn't give up.
Evidently.
I kept going there every now and then, like, boss, see, I'm hungry, what can you do for me? Like, I want this so bad. So he told me, yeah, see, that it's not Jesus Christ, he can't do any miracle, but he would promise me what's it called, guidance, is going to guide me through my career and all that.
Yeah.
It's going to help me out with knowing what music is all about, and all I need to do is just come here every now and then, sit down, watch and learn. So I took my time to learn forever. So
6 years is forever.
Yes.
Wow.
So without recording any single, actually, I recorded one song.
So what did you do in 6 years?
Just sitting down, watching, learning, go back home late that night. Then my parents are going to curse me out like, guy, where have you been? I went to the studio to do what? Just your song and nothing. Like, for like 6 years. So like, it's crazy, man. Like, so over time, it got to a point whereby I was having issues with school.
Mm.
Then my popsy retired.
What school were you in?
Taisholari University of Education in Ijebu-Ode. Then my popsy retired from work and all that. And the funds were not really there. All the money he got from his pension and all that, he had to like invest in properties and all that. So
yeah.
I was really having mad issues with school. So I had to like just move back to Lagos, and I went straight to the studio. I even left the house. I went straight to the studio. I started sleeping in the studio full time. So as time went on, I've been writing though, like, since I've been there, over the 6 years, I've been writing every now and then. But when the Amelie by Lil Wayne came out, that jam was popping. It was popping like real crazy. And lots of people in Nigeria actually did a remix to it. Like, So
yeah, everyone and their mother had a version.
So when I told Kabasa about it, it was like, no. He doesn't want me to do the same thing everyone is doing and all that. Actually, I tried to convince him, like, Baba, see, this one is actually not like whatever you've heard, though. Then later on, he told one of his engineers to try and record me when they're done for the day. So, like, around 10 or 11 or something, when he left the studio, one of his engineers, AB, recorded me then. Then when I was done, the next day, I took the song to his house, and I paid it for him. When he listened to it, he was like, man, this is dope. We have to drop it.
This was Eniduro.
Yeah. Oh, and I saw that on Amelie beats on the instrumental.
Yeah.
So as soon as he dropped it on SoundCloud, then he read the comments later on, like about 5 hours ago, 5 hours after.
Mm.
Then the old comments were more like, oh, yo, guys, this is dope, but please change the beats. Don't waste these lyrics. Don't waste this song and all that. So Kabasa had to like make another beat immediately, like after 5 hours. Then we now drop Eniduro the next day, like with the new beats and all that.
Somewhere on SoundCloud, there's a version of Eniduro.
Yeah,
that
if you
has
check, I don't know if Kabasa is sticking it out though.
I'm gonna hunt him down and get that from him.
Like, that's about it, man.
Amazing, man. Amazing.
Yeah. Everything is time, actually. But nobody's actually going to tap you and wake you up like, yo, it's time. You have to know when it's time. You have to.
Wow. So, it's 2010, and Eniduro strikes, and all over Nigeria and other parts of West Africa at first, there's a skinny guy in sunglasses rapping to imaginary characters.
Yeah, changing clothes.
Changing clothes and disappearing into fireballs. Yeah, I remember the whole video. And walking through a really ghetto scene.
Yeah.
And the first question everyone is asking at this point is, who the hell is Olamide? So that's the question I'm going to ask you. And imagine that this is the very first question I ask you here on the podcast. In your words, who is Olamide?
Olamide is a young black boy from far away that believes that there's more to music than being in a box and saying, yo, I do R&B, I do hip-hop, I do this, I do that. Mm. I don't believe in that.
So what do
I
you
believe
in?
Music is music. Me making music is it's a result of influences from here and there. Mm. Listening to Pasuma, listening to Oris Willis, Willicky.
Is it? Oh, man.
Yeah,
Oris,
you know. Yeah.
I met him once.
Yeah.
Awesome guy.
Listening to Majek Fashek.
Awesome. I met Majek
Blackie,
too.
Listening to Idris Abdul Karim and all these people. And you're telling me tomorrow I won't wake up. And, like, it's so annoying if, like, left to me, yo, I just think it's very sad to, like, drop a song and because it's not hip-hop, but the song is popping and it's doing good, numbers-wise and all that.
Yeah.
And sales, everything, and rotation on radio and all that, and it's doing great. But because so artists, you guys already categorized him as hip-hop artist, so you are not going to give him award for that song. That's not a hip-hop song.
Don't let me get started with the awards.
Like, I'm just saying, like, because recently when I saw MTV, what's it called? Nominations and all that, like
the Mamas, 2015.
Respect to MTV Base.
Yeah,
I don't know the reasons why they chose to like put me in that category. For
what category did they put you in?
I think best hip hop, and like over 2 years now, I've not shot any video for hip hop song, any rap music or something. It has been the pop and the dance halls and all that. So
do you think that it's and this is a pretty interesting idea. So typically it's imagined that an artist is only capable of one genre.
Mm.
But that's evidently not true. In the 21st century, we've seen people like Drake.
Wycliffe.
Who are capable of singing and rapping.
Wycliffe as well, you know. So,
and a bunch of other people, you know. I mean, The Weeknd is a great singer. He will occasionally dumb out and come out with a bunch of rappers crowding in on one beat. Mm-hmm. And he just sings on it. So is it correct to categorize the artists in a genre, or should you take each offering of the artist in a different genre?
Of course.
That's what you think should be done.
That's what I think. Because at the end of the day, man, music is all about mood, your feelings and everything. Today you're feeling funky, tomorrow you're feeling rocky, tomorrow you're feeling hip-hop.
Mm.
Like
dressing.
It changes, like, you know, that's it basically. It's just like someone asking me, like, when you see Andrew Blaze tomorrow, what do you think he's gonna dress like? And I'll be like, oh, hip-hop. No, I can't say that, because I know you're human. Your and mood changes, your feelings changes, like, you just want to do something fresh every now and then. Like, so why should I limit you to one thing? I don't want to put you in the box, because I know you're a very creative person and you always want to think out of the box. So why should I keep you in a box? You know, like,
a pretty revolutionary idea, man. And yeah. I think wow, okay. Okay, that's... Let's put a pin in that. We'll get back to it. Tell me about fatherhood. What's that like?
It's nice. It's good. But honestly speaking,
how scared were you?
Nah, I wasn't scared at all.
At all?
At all.
So at the all. Very first time...
See, yeah, let me tell you how long I've been longing to have a baby, though. I've been longing to have a baby since I was in SS3.
You've been looking forward to being a dad since you were in jail.
Trust me.
SS3.
Trust me. But I wouldn't want to have a baby that's going to come to this world and suffer.
So why now?
Because I think I'm good financially. Hmm. And I'm more matured and all that. Hmm. So.
And trust me, you're speaking to a single dad here. So it's perfectly understandable. What's the relationship like between you and the mother of your son?
We were very cool. We've been cool from way back, and we've been together for like over 5 years now. So it's not just some random chick that came around and all that. So that's just it.
Big ups to you. A friend of mine called me a few weeks ago and said, shout outs to all of you who have children and are fathers first before you are human beings.
Mm.
And it's such a weird thing, but I think one of the first things you learn as a parent is you only matter as much as what you're able to do in the life of your child.
Of course.
And where you fail...
That's it, man.
Wow. You know what? Let's not have that conversation here. My friends here at the podcast keep threatening me about how they're going to set up a recording and have someone interview me. So I'm just saying, if they reach out to you, say no. Say no, man. Okay, so the music.
Yeah, the music.
It's been like the single fulcrum around which your entire life has revolved.
Yeah.
From personal life to your interaction with the public. But the music itself has been bumpy quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Most notably, squashed now, but most notably, there were a handful of... There were pockets of conflict. You knew I was going to ask, man. Come on.
Conflicts like...
There were conflicts. I mean, so first and foremost, what happened in the indigenous rap circle? Because there was a brush off between Vector and Reminisce. And there's a brush off between... I'm not going to name everyone. I hate to fuel these things. But there are brush offs between these different people. But you, on the other hand, you seem to have absolutely no problems. Apart from things that are heard on the grapevine by people who are close.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to ask this question, and once and for all, let's get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Is there or has there ever been any sort of disagreement between you and MI, Judah Bagga?
Never.
Never. You guys are not even, what's that funny thing secondary school girls used to call it? Frenemies?
Nah. Let me shock you. See, the very first time I met MI through my former manager, Anthony Wankalo.
Another great guy.
Yeah. Mm. So when I met him, I think... somebody was having a birthday party, ice cream or something, and Tony Wankalo took me to MI's house. Then MI was the one who took us into the club. You know, like, on the view though, yeah, Olamide, known and all that back then, blah, 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 and all that, but there were some places I couldn't easily enter, like, the bouncers were going, they were going to, like, just mess with me, like, big time, without giving any, so, but MI took me in, like, freely, you know, and I would never forget that. I don't know if he still remembers though, but I know
Jude has an elephant memory. So, shout out to you, Jude.
So I'm never going
short
to forget
bastard,
that.
You have an elephant memory.
I've never had any issue with him. We've never met one-on-one and have like an argument or something, like nothing. Nothing. It has been...
So
why does the
public imagine that that exists?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Hmm. Food for thought. What on earth is happening next? In December 2014, you posted up pictures that pretty much riled everyone up. Have you noticed that after your G-Wagon, your Mercedes-Benz G-Wagon photographs, everyone imagines that the G-Wagon is the new Range Rover? Really? Well, for everyone apart from me, I hated the Range Rover. So no, that's not going to happen. But what happens next for you? What's next on the plateau? What are you looking forward to next? What's the next plateau?
Right about now, I think the future is the future. And I'm part of the present already. And I still feel I'm part of the future as well.
Mm.
But regardless, there are some people that are not part of the present right now. But they are around me. And I know they are the future. You know, so
such as who?
The likes of Lil Cash. People might not pay... attention to him right now.
After that Shocky song, everyone is paying attention, don't worry.
But I know the kids got a lot more to offer, and the likes of Adekunle Gold. Adekunle Gold is the future, man. I swear. Like, Adekunle Gold is the future. And Adekunle Gold is like a combination of Niza, Nasha, and Sonia Day, Wasil, everything. Like, You know, so right now I'm just trying to like focus on their project. And
are there any album launches scheduled in the near future?
This year we actually looking forward to dropping Lil Kesh's album. And Adekunle Go, just more singles. Olamide, more singles. Though my marketer called me already to drop an album this year, but I don't know yet. I'm still thinking about it. And more singles just from YBNL members and all that. So
on a scale of 1 to 10,
yeah,
where would you place your success?
Left to me, if you just want me to like from the way I reason and my thinking.
No.
You see, there's
a two-way interview. There's a two-way to it.
I know, but there's a two-way to it. Okay. Like, if you want to be grateful,
then you have to look at the positive.
Yeah, like if I want to like you know rate it based on being very grateful, I would say like
a 10 over 10.
10 over 10.
Okay.
But now, when you take that religious part of you out,
and you look at it with the cold light of logic, what's that number?
2. You know what I'm saying? My like,
man.
So like for real though, I feel like I'm still just 2. I'm not even there at all. Like, cause I have too many things in my head, millions of things, millions of ideas in my head that I really want to work on. But funds, lots of things like. Man, it's crazy. Olamide has been the only one funding himself ever since I left Coded Tunes. And
why did you leave Coded Tunes for YBNL?
I actually had to leave Coded Tunes because the time was still.
So you just knew, like, it was time?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like me thinking to myself like, yo, guys, every time you drop a single, and I spoke with Kabasa about like, for you as a person, you must have a mind of your own. If you don't have a mind of your own, then you have a problem. I can't deal with people that don't have a mind of their own. My artists, they tell me when they want to drop their songs. If you wait for me to always tell you when to drop your songs, we are going to have issues. That means if I'm not around, you cannot function without me. I don't want people like that around me. I want to build soldiers that will take over. I don't want to build soldiers that rely on me. I don't want people that cannot survive without me. I'm not building toy soldiers. I'm not raising toy soldiers. I want to raise soldiers that can keep things locked down when I'm not around. That can have my back when I'm not around. People that can stand for themselves. I'm not building toy soldiers. People that can not even say anything when Olamide is not around. No. And that's what Kabasa actually was really all about. Like, trying to build someone that can stand for himself and all that. So,
you know, that's easily... I mean, looking at the economic the economic spread in Nigeria, that's probably one of the biggest problems that corporates have today. The hiring systems tend to bring in people who are dependent on the structure, as opposed to people who have a structured mentality of their own and a way of thinking and problem solving already locked down. Enough of this. Let me talk to you creative.
Yeah.
Creative to creative. All right, so as most people who listen to the podcast must already know, a lot of the questions that I ask have relationships in tow with what I'm currently dealing with as a person. Everyone would learn to just let Andre live. So, money. The creative's biggest problem is money. You either undercharge, overcharge, or you give away far too much for free. How do you beat that? What school of thought are you a part of or a follower of that teaches you how to deal with the expectations of the public on you and how to meet up with that without becoming a slave to public demand? So I'll give you an example. So there's Olamide, the artist, but there's also Miliano's dad. Now, I'm notorious. I put up pictures of my daughter's all the time. I'm just, the hell with it. You, on the other hand, a couple of pictures now and then psh, radio silence. And everyone keeps on commenting like, where's the kid? But you're totally zen up. I mean, no one comments about mine and asks where my kids are. People know where my kids are. I flaunt them far too much. How do you decide, A, what parts of your life to keep private, what parts to let open, B, how to structure a charging method for Olamide the talent.
It's pretty simple, yeah. It's just basically you knowing where you're coming from and where you're going to. Because I would have like growing up for me now, sometimes when I look back at things and I think about the way my parents brought me up. Yeah, fine, I like it. But in a way, left to me, I would have rather just want to be order free, grow up and make my decisions on my own. But my popsy wanted me to like go to school.
Yeah.
Now I'm growing
get
up,
the education.
I'm more exposed and I've seen a lot as well. And I don't believe in this go to school. My own is, let me just see one thing that my child is really good at and I'm going to take it up from there. I'd rather send my child to a football academy than send my child to school when I know he's madly in love with football. Than wasting my money for another. You know how many people will go to school, will go come back, they will be conductor. Like, man, like, you know what I'm saying? Some will be shoemakers and all that. Like, it's crazy. It's annoying. Why do you have to waste your money when you see your child sketching and all that, doing all these things, and you can't help them build their career and all that, you know, equip them where you know that, oh, so aspects, they are very good at it. Just equip them.
As opposed to try to change them.
You know, instead of wasting money, like, no matter how bad it is, man, if you pay attention, if you're the type that pay attention to people, you study people around you, you can easily tell what someone is really interested in, either you like it or not. True. So, for me, I'm just... True. So, like, now, my child is still very young. I don't know if he's going to grow up to be one of those kids that really love fame and all that. I don't know if he's going to be one of those kids that's going
to
grow up
and be
very angry and mad at me for introducing him to the limelight.
Wow.
You understand
my
question?
That's a brand new fear that I have in my head now. Thank you.
I just put all these things into consideration because I don't want my baby to grow up and be like angry at me, because either I like it or not, one way or the other, it's going to impact his life. Some way that I can't even explain. I need my baby to be free with me, to tell me everything is going through in school, there and there, to be very free with me, like it's G, like it's number one G. And the only way you can do that is when you give them their space. You understand?
What are your top two biggest fears today, sitting right here?
My major fear is not making heaven. The second one is failure.
That's a pretty, A, very iconic lineup of fears. B, very, I hate to say it, but almost contradictory. Because, you know what? We're not going to talk about religion. We never talk about religion on this. Never. But speaking of that, you were raised Muslim. What's your current religious disposition?
Honestly, right now, I just do whatever comes my way. Tomorrow, I can feel like going to mosque, I'll go to mosque. Tomorrow, if I feel like going to church, I'll go to church. But most of the time, I just do my personal communication with my God. Because when he was creating me, nobody was there. No pastor was there. No alpha was there. So I think there's a direct connection between me and God already existing way before I came into this world and your Christianity, blah, 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 religion, whatever I came in. So...
Beautiful. Just beautiful. I don't get to hear a lot of people make proclamations on religion that sound new to me, but that did. Lil Kesh,
yeah.
Adekunle Gold, and Olamide. In the last couple of years, I'd say about 3 years, you have literally flooded the market with songs. Okay. Literally. Like, it's impossible to have a 3-month furlough that is not marked by 2 Olamide singles back to back. And the most recent thing you're doing right now, if you don't mind my saying, is you're introducing dance. You're introducing dance into it.
Yeah.
That's... It almost feels like a person who is... Part am I saying this? But it feels almost as though you're not trying to leave your fans or your demographic alone for 5 seconds.
Not at all.
A friend of mine, I'm not going to name him, but you know, shout out to him. He will understand when he hears this. He's a pretty popular guy, very insightful, incredibly successful in his business. So, and his business is forecasting, so he knows this stuff very well. He said, Olamide is going to be here for another 100 years if we don't find a way to have him hand over the baton to someone else. So, on the counterpoint of non-indigenous rap, a lot of power changes are happening. Judah Baga is now the CEO of Chocolate City Music. Ice Prince, Pantrack Zamani is vice president. Is Adekunle going to become the vice president, CEO of YBNL?
And that's one good thing about YBNL, if you ask me. YBNL is actually, yeah, we call it record label, but the general idea behind YBNL is like, a platform that has been built just to raise soldiers, people that will take over.
Are you ever going to take your hands off the steering wheel?
Just like Muhammad Ali would tell you, I'm the greatest and all that. But when time comes, you cannot fight time. A time will come whereby Olamide is just got to chill.
What are you going to do then?
Because I love music so much and I'm very smart, I'm just going to do something way different from what everyone is expecting. We're still going to be connected to music or entertainment in a way.
Fancy. Are you going to marry the mother of your child? And I'm sorry, I hate to have asked that question. Okay. I personally hate it when people ask me that question, but I owe it to you to know where you stand.
That's a question that is very hard to answer because Olamide is not God. Only God knows tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Olamide Adeniji. And it's ironic because there are two Olamide Adenijis on my cell phone. Mm-hmm. The second one will understand. AKA
Olamide, I know, right?
AKA Daddy Miliano, AKA Bado. A.K.A. Bado Sne. What the hell is that, by the way?
That's from the hood, though. That's from the hood, man. That's from the hood.
If you could do one thing to change the state of things in Bariga, Lagos, the neighborhood where you grew up, the ghetto, quote-unquote, what would it be?
I think the first thing I would like to do is to, like, call for peace, because there's loads of
warring factions,
yeah. And all that, the whole frag thing and all that. And
from what you ever remember?
Nah.
Not ever.
Yeah. See, yeah,
if you tell me yours, I'll tell you mine.
Nah, well, you know, it's a different story when your father is a godfather in the hood.
So there's absolutely no confraternity you can be a part of.
Like,
that
there's actually no point. Because everyone bangs with me. Like, they're cool with me like that. Yo, so I think, like, that's like the major problem we have in the hood right now. Like, everyone is just, I've been hearing stories back and forth, like people killing each other, like dudes that are not even in school, man, killing each other is because one or two things. I think is the way they've been brought up, and maybe little, I don't know, maybe lack of exposure and all that. They've been brainwashed by some people and all that, and I'm not happy with the fact that that's happening in my hood. And over time, when I see my people coming from the hood, we sit down, we talk about all these things, like how can we, like, put an end to this. And I think it's something that's going to be pretty tough for only Olamide to do. It's something that has to come from the top. Like, the government has to, like, look into this, because it's not only happening in my hood, it's happening in almost every hood out there.
Very
PH, you know,
it's in PH,
Ajegunle, wherever, you know, Calabar, you understand what I'm saying? So yeah. Like, I think that that's hatred that has been, you know, put into these people's mind, like, ah, guy, this one rival, where? How come? Like, you know, this rivalry thing, you know that. So if there's unity, I don't know how to put it, but I think this whole problem started when the Westerners or whatever, I don't know, came into Africa, brainwashed everyone with
and created subsets.
You know. All these things like blah 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 blah. Christianity, 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 Christianity. How many times do they go to church?
So it's almost as though we've adopted the idea of the religion,
and
but not the religion itself.
And I'm just saying, people still brought about color and all that. And if you check your if you check the color of my skin, the color of my skin is brown. This is not black. Why should they call me a black man? And the color of their skin is not white. Why should they call themselves white man? Like, it's annoying. The color of my hair is black. Why should you call me a black man? Like, when I think about all these things and I read books and all that, I'll be like, man, this stuff is too deep for only me to handle. Like, I cannot solve this problem alone. I need everyone to, like, think and reason the way I do to, like, put an... If not, like, I think about all these things, but like every now and then I'm like, man, they don't brainwash us. We've been brainwashed. Like, if you really think about it, why should every one of us, all the Africans, should just agree that yes, we are black men? When they've actually taught us about color, that this is black, like the color of my hair is black,
and you're not
and
black.
So color is brown, and the color of my skin is brown, and they're calling me a black man. Like, man, I cannot deal.
You, I mean, Malcolm Gladwell will be proud of people like you. You're the quintessential outlier. You choose to define yourself by your own terminology as opposed to adopting anything that has been slapped onto you like a label, and that's a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
So we have a handful of questions that we almost always ask on that My Africa podcast. And the first one is, if you could recommend something to everyone, something that you know you have tried, you've tested, and you found to be true, unerringly so, what would it be?
Personal communication with God.
A personal communication with God. Okay. And our second question is typically... who would you like us to interview next? Has to be an African or someone who lives in Africa, not necessarily an African, but someone who lives in Africa and has a lot of relationships with the continent. Who would it be for you?
Maybe Ice Prince.
Panshak. I've actually already interviewed Panshak.
Oh, yeah? Ironically, okay,
I just haven't put that episode out yet.
Okay,
but yes,
maybe what's it called? Bodge, B-O-J.
B-O-J.
Yeah.
Well, outside of his iconic hats that he's always wearing, I don't know much about B-O-J, but yes, I'll look him up.
Right.
I'll look him up. Ladies and gentlemen, excuse me, I have to make sure this comes out right. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a handful of people who have been able to capitalize on the idea of difference and turn difference into a positive streak. Even fewer of those people have been able to maintain that positive streak for as long as was necessary to emerge as successes. Today on My Africa Podcast, you managed to listen to one of those people emerging from the most populous nation on the African continent. My name is Andre Blaise Henshaw. Special thank you to Olamide.
Thanks for having me on your show, boss.
Thanks for coming through. My Africa Podcast is commonly available on iTunes if you search for My Africa. And if you visit www.myafricapodcast.com, you're sure to find the rest of our stuff lined up there. My name is Andre Blaise Henshaw. Did I already say that?
Of course you did.
And I'll see you on the next episode. If you're listening to this in midair, make sure you check us out as soon as you get on Terra Firma. And see you in 1 week. Thanks for listening to My Africa Podcast. My name is Andre Blaise Henshaw. If you haven't subscribed yet, don't fret. It's relatively easy to do. If you're on iTunes, search for My Africa and click on subscribe. If you're an Android user, please visit www.myafricapodcast.com for your podcast fix weekly. Don't forget, we're also on Facebook. So if you're on facebook.com, please search for My Africa, like our fan page, and leave us a cute little note. Trust me, our guys really like that. We're also on Twitter at My Africa Podcasts. We'll be back in just one more week with some of the most amazing stories never heard before from the African continent and sometimes just a little bit beyond. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of your week.